If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
All right, welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad, everybody. This week, we have a very special guest. She's been on my other podcast, See You and Help a Bunch, runs a podcast about people who have been committed for mental health reasons called Doing Time. It's a laugh riot, as you can imagine. give it up for Drew Lauren, everybody.
Thank you. I hear clapping everywhere.
Yeah, I said give it up too because I miss comedy so fucking much.
Yeah.
Like, that I can't.
He was
get
waiting all day to
mode
say that.
Whenever I introduce somebody on a digital thing. But how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thanks
doing
for
great,
having me.
You know?
Yeah.
Just sitting in a garden apartment. It's 5 degrees outside. Just really.
It's
enjoying
it's
all my life decisions.
When was the last time you did a comedy show?
The last time I did a comedy show was in August, and I did Zany's Old Town, and it was very interesting. Yeah, it was very interesting, and then I'm doing it in March, too. But I'm like, wait, do I do the same 8 minutes that I did, like, 3 years ago? Because I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like,
yeah,
I'm not.
No,
it's
no,
such
you
a
should,
weird
you
thing.
You should do a new 10 about the tragedy that just happened, I feel like. you should go to a show that people paid for with a completely new 10 that you haven't had the ability to test out.
See, this is why we're friends, Kenyon. Yeah. You just validate my.
Yeah.
Honestly, Drew, this is the only time I'm not jealous of someone having a Zany set because like I haven't
no,
been
it's
up
really
in so
weird
long. Like I would and that's like a place that I'm like, I want to come like hot and killing. And I can't just jump up like I haven't been on stage in a year and I'm at Zany's Old Town, I'd be freaking
out.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's just weird because so I just felt like it wasn't, I mean, obviously it's not as intimate because not everybody's as close together. People don't understand like how the physically the dynamics of comedy matter so much. And with COVID, people are a little bit socially distanced as far as like when you go into a place like Zany's with tables, and it just didn't feel like you're talking to the crowd. It feels like you're talking like at them into like the ether because they like go far back, but they're like spaced apart.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So it just felt, I don't know. It just like, I had a fine set, but like it didn't feel, it wasn't fun for me to be honest. Like I didn't,
right.
It wasn't the same thrill because like, it's not like, the pace isn't different because you're just like stopping and then doing comedy instead of like doing it every night. And then the thrill's that so much better because you're like working the whole week on whatever you're going to do that weekend.
Right.
And
right.
So it's like, it's just like, it just feels random.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, okay, if I do, you know, I'm doing Zany's in March and I'm like, okay, what, like, I guess I can, you know, write a new joke, but like at the same time, I'm like, if they're reviewing to come, you know, me to come back to the club, I'm not gonna like throw in new jokes that have never been tested on.
No,
stage
you're basically
before
just being like, hey, my boyfriend thought these were funny, so I'm
exactly, exactly. That's the only person I'm quarantined with. Yeah, it's like, what am I supposed to do?
Right. Yeah, pandemic kind of takes the little bit of the thrill out of the grind. Not exactly ideal.
I think it's a different type of grind insofar as like, because with comedy, you know, people are, I mean, we're all writers, so we do a lot of different, like, you know, sketches and stuff like that. So I think
it's
that's like a part
period for everybody.
It is. And it's like, do we,
and everyone else
like,
is transitioning back to reality and then you need to get a job and go to school and give a shit. And you realize when the shit hits the fan, what's going to pay the bills? It isn't your bits. It isn't your indie bar show. So it's time. So it's time
I,
to put,
yeah,
time
it's
to
like
put on. Time to take a shower. Look yourself in the mirror. Go back
and
look
face
your
reality
dad in the eye for the once in your life and go back to school. So
yeah, I think it's like, do you stand on the morals of like, I only do live stand up comedy, or do you like sell your soul to TikTok?
And
like,
what
that's,
you do is,
I feel
yes,
like
you sell your soul to TikTok. That's not even a question.
Kenyon's like,
what
are you
do
talking about?
Right now, I'm filming myself dancing to whatever is trending.
Drew, like, that is
just
like
know
the,
it by heart.
When the Ford Model T came out and there was some guy like, no, I ride on the horse. And they're like, that guy's a loser. No,
yeah,
one,
that guy's a loser. Yeah, yeah. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Yeah,
get a car.
You get out there and you make TikToks and you make podcasts and you fucking make it, goddammit. Doesn't mean what it used to. There's no Conan. You make a Patreon.
There's no
conspiracy theories like an adult. All right.
That's what it is. Jimmy Kimmel does his show like he's reading a ransom note. Somebody has a gun aimed at him.
Everyone enjoying that is going to be dead from COVID in 2 months. That's the problem with late night. Everyone who liked that show is dead now. So it's over. You get on it. You do a new thing. That's what we're doing with the pod. I don't even want to hear about comedy, to be honest. Talk about next.
Yeah.
Fuck, shut up.
Something else. Something else. Yes.
Drew, what have you been doing to cope with the... So you're working from home and stuff? Did you get some plants?
What is with the white women and the plants? I don't give a fuck about plants. They don't help me feel grounded. I don't give a shit. But white women have a fern around. It's like the fucking, it's the homing.
I don't have any real ones. So I can't speak. I can't speak to those people. But what I can say is that they're great decor and they fill up space. But I don't know if that's something you would appreciate and value at this point in your life.
I don't know
if that's something you're really into.
Kenyon's just like, do the lights work? And can I smoke in here? my girlfriend, there's a new one. I mean, she's a floral designer, so every square inch of this place is
covered.
The way
his voice changes when he says that. She's a floral designer.
Whenever you talk about your girlfriend, you're like, yeah, my girl. So she's a floral designer, and it's a passion to take seriously because she's right behind me. And no, I'm sorry. I'll pack a bag. I'm leaving.
What I was going to say is there's a plant in the shower now.
We got plants in the shower.
Wait.
You guys are trying to gentrify the shower. You can't let the shower be.
It looked like something we hadn't been there in so long, like a zombie movie or something. We had left and everyone had died.
Shit just started growing?
There's plants just coming out of our shower.
What's a good shower plant, Nick?
Eucalyptus.
Okay. It's weird how quick
the shower is it's not a choice.
That's what it is. Because believe me, I asked.
But no, I feel you. There's a depression zen you hit with quarantine where if you got a schedule and you got a routine, it's pretty cool. You're like, I work from home, I do my little thing, afterwards I'm gonna work on whatever my hobby or project is and go to bed, you know?
I think it makes life more simple. I don't think because it's you're doing simple things like reading a book, but I also think that a lot of people thrive on chaos a lot. So when it first hit, it was just super hard to balance nothing. I'm working from home and then what?
Yeah.
It's an emptiness, but it's an emptiness that everyone has. So you don't feel as bad. Because you everyone always you got to be happy for people. But at the same time, when everybody can do nothing, it kind of feels good. Because you're not competing with anybody.
The first month was awesome. It was a much needed vacation.
Yeah.
For a snow day.
Yeah.
But it is a point of privilege also to do not. There are people every day that are just mom. You go to a grocery store. It's I still have to go to Jiffy Lube, except now I do it with a mask on and I'm worried the whole time. You know, it's different when people are I have to do my shitty six-figure job from home in my penthouse. And it's not really ideal. And I do have Uber slaves delivering me food every day, every hour. But, you know, it's the stress is getting to me. But other than that, my therapist, who I talk to over Zoom, and every whim I have.
Kenyon is subtweeting. Reading me right now.
Yeah. I was gonna say my Zoom meeting with my therapist is tomorrow, and
meetings with therapists. I got that going on too, and it's you know, it's fine. It's just so weird to have every person you talk to over a screen.
I find it I find it interesting, but what I do find weird is that I show up more to the Zoom meetings than I do to in person therapy. Because there's really no excuse not to get on your computer.
Yeah, it's how could you?
I used to not show up.
How depressed are you? It's you have to be on your computer. You can't open a laptop. Then
you just
push
it
literally
open,
grab you from your house.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would sleep through it, or I'd purposely sleep through it, and then be sorry, I fell asleep because I just didn't want to go. But now I'm they're gonna send an ambulance if I keep not showing up, on a computer, you know.
The problem I have is my therapist is really hot, and I feel if we were in person, I could appreciate how hot she is, but because she's over a screen, I kind of don't, and I'm not getting the appropriate therapist fantasies that I should, which I feel
because it's not because you don't feel the energy.
Yeah, I don't. It's not. Yeah.
I would love it.
The connection is lost.
Kenyon in normal life is this, but the second he goes to therapy, he's fucking Tony Soprano. He's like, God, I gotta deal with all this shit. I gotta go to some hot therapist in person. I gotta want to bang my therapist. I always do older men.
I couldn't talk to a man about my feelings if you put a gun to my head, Nick. Really,
it's
good.
It's really.
If I went to a male therapist, he'd be like, "So how's everything going?" I'm like, "Fine. What about you? What are you gay? What are you talking to me about? Feelings? What's your fantasy league looking like?"
I always imagine therapy as of like I'm going to the wise one, and I, but really it's just me now with Zoom though. I get to live out my total fantasy, which was going to therapy without pants on. I do enjoy not wearing pants and just being like, I'm fucking geeking out, and him being like, you don't need to geek out.
Yeah, I just couldn't. It would just feel too much like a, I don't know. If you probably listen to the pod, I don't trust older men. So I'm like, you're the enemy. You're the problem. So I'm not gonna have this motherfucker solve it. You want you want like a super mom to come in, give you the advice, you'll be fine, dude.
You're making everyone's ideal situation your ideal situation.
Yeah.
That's what you want. No. You want the,
it's like, does everyone want that?
No, you want the therapist with the big tits.
And the truth is,
the champagne, and she's stripping in front of you on a pole, and you're throwing money at her. That's the kind of therapist that you should want.
Yeah. It's like, it sounds like a personal problem.
If you had to describe, you know, your dad, like his parenting style, what would you say?
Like in a word?
Just in general.
Oh, okay. So my parents got divorced when I was like 13. So to like
nice. So you're age. Cool. I don't really trust people from a stable home like Nick. On some level, I don't trust Nick because I just feel totally. Like Wait, if on, you just sorry. Had one Christmas, you're a nerd. You got to have two Christmases.
I mean, we had one Christmas, that's true. But we had fights on Christmas. Like, there was some action
there
on Christmas.
Go. Yeah.
Like, it's not like there's not...
Yeah.
See, I feel like when your parents get divorced, it's not good. But it can be good if they fight all the fucking time.
Right.
Yeah, no, so when my parents... Okay, that's funny you say that, because when my parents got divorced, they were like, oh, we have to tell you something at the dinner table. And then, like... We were like,
they're like,
okay,
one, like, two, three. We don't love you guys anymore.
And break.
Yeah.
No, so my parents were like, we have to talk to you guys, which like, it's never anything good, right? So we like go upstairs, and then my dad's like, well, and my brother has Asperger's, right? So like, whatever he says is like off the top of his head.
So your parents were like, first off, to answer your questions preemptively, it is your fault.
No, my dad literally takes a deep breath and he like his eyes start watering, and my brother's like, I know you're getting divorced, ha ha ha, yeah, and he literally just gets up and walks out of the room.
Your dad gets out of the rocks of the room?
My brother does that.
Well, I love your brother.
Oh, what a
his
champion.
Efficiency of this is amazing.
Yeah,
your brother's
like,
ha ha, they're getting divorced. He walked out of the room. That's a baller.
Yeah,
right.
He's like, ah ha, you're getting divorced, I know, you told me. And then
he just solved a Rubik's cube as he was walking away.
Yeah. He's like, there were 10 trains that passed the metro. Yeah. I watched it myself.
He also was naming everyone who got divorced in the town in alphabetical order as he walked away.
Exactly. He's like, I was counting you in for the new data this month.
Well.
So, yeah. So after, because we had like a pretty good relationship when I was like, when my parents were married. But I started to side with my mom more once like the divorce started to like become more apparent. Like I knew it was going to happen. So like... My dad, he was very like just like neglectful of my mom. Like my mom would be trying to help out my brother because my brother has like Asperger's and addiction. And so she was really trying to help him. And like my dad, I feel like didn't pull the weight as much. Like he pulled a lot of financial weight, but like he just kind of like my mom and him would get in fights. And then my dad would just completely ignore her. And like she'd be screaming at him. But like I don't think it's ever right to scream at someone. But I also like the stuff she was saying, like she was so beyond hurt and like needed help. And my dad was just like literally would just his mode was like the silent treatment, and like
he just hated that comment from your brother.
He's from
he just fucking hated that. He had the whole speech lined up, and your brother just shat on it. And he was like, "Well, there we go. There we go."
And his head, he's just like, well, good. I'm getting a new apartment. He's just thinking about it. He's like, it's
gonna
have a lake.
So after that, I just feel like my dad like didn't like, it's like that St. Louis mentality of like sweep everything under the rug. And so he never talks about anything to this day. He's really bad at communicating and he could work on it. And that's the thing, is that he never had like a really good way of communicating. And so he just like, I feel like wanted to be like, okay, I can't have the second marriage fail or anything fail. So he moved out. And moved, mind you, like maybe like 30 yards like behind my mom. Like literally, like I would walk out the backyard and he like moved out there. And I was like, this feels done. Like this was like a guest house.
Okay, for a second,
like,
I thought you said he moved into the backyard. And I was like, well, that's tough.
Like, that sounds,
you literally moved into a doghouse. He's just sitting there. I'm like, that's rough.
Yeah.
What do you mean he moved very close? I thought that'd be a whole different type of thing.
Come here.
If your dad lives in the backyard, I think you call him backyard dad now. I don't think he earns just regular dad.
No, so he's backyard and dad. Obviously, like the thing's called fuck you dad, so we're gonna talk shit. The main reason why I have issues with my dad, if I'm being completely honest, is because when he moved out, he wanted to like get revenge at my mom, so he like closed out all the bank accounts. Like, so my mom literally had $0, and then she had literally $5 in her wallet.
So it's like a Jewish Cold War.
And he lives right behind her. He's like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. He's like, I'm doing the altar. Yeah. You just imagine your dad has like a big red button. He's like, no shopping for you, bitch. He just slaps it.
So my dad left her with $5 in her wallet, but I was with my mom. So like she had to feed me, and like whatever she had was whatever was left in the pantry, and like close out everything to be like, fuck you, Ann, I'm done. And it's like, yeah, but fuck me too. Like, what did I do? So that's why, like, that's one of the main reasons that I like struggled. And then when he introduced me to his wife and kids, it was like, they kind of like did this thing where they were trying to constantly cover up the fact that like he was paying for her kids and stuff like that. And she has four kids, and like, I will never talk shit publicly about any of them just because like, that's not the right thing to do. Like, I will say, fuck you, dad. But like, I will never like say anything about them publicly, but like she would say,
fuck
like,
you, dad, but not fuck you, dad's other kids.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of they're like, chill. I just don't think it's appropriate, but whatever. Cause my dad thinks it's like everyone knows.
You know, I think one could describe this podcast with, I just don't think it's appropriate.
And that's the whole thing isn't.
Yeah. The whole thing is probably wildly.
They're like, is there like a specific like story of a time that like, your dad like embarrassed you or like was fucking,
or just even or, wacky. Like, it doesn't have to be like sinister. Just,
I mean,
just
if you
want to
know, like at a time where I know I'm a comedian, but there are times where like, I could just tell you one of the times that I was like, whoa, you're fucking crazy. Is like, he didn't really was there for me and I wasn't talking to him for 2 years. And then like at my diving meets, at my senior meet, when it's like Drew's going Division 1 for diving, he would show up and be like, look, that's my daughter. And I'm like, that's like sadistic, because it's like, you didn't do anything to like fight for this. Like, we went to therapy once and then you were like, threw the towel in and was like, fuck this. And it's like, I'm like,
I think your dad was Bojack Horseman. He literally sounds like Bojack Horseman.
I've watched that show, but not enough to like. Now I feel like I'm gonna watch it.
Oh,
but,
watch some Bojack.
Yeah,
Drew, watch some Bojack.
But I was constantly embarrassed whenever I was with him when I did have a good relationship with him, because everybody knew around me.
Yeah, that's so.
I had a lot of close friends I was very open with, you know.
But that's such a dad thing of like barely trying. He's like, "Hey, I showed up for the thing," and you're like, "You don't show up enough." And he's like, "What? I'm showing up occasionally." What do you want?
I showed up to the thing where I sit in a pool.
Well, okay, so like, okay, here's the thing. So we had this, so in college, I had a diving meet. And like, look, I wasn't the best on Division 1, but I had people on my team who were training for the Olympics. So like, to anybody, that would be cool to meet these people.
Right.
And see, like, just get to know them, whatever.
I mean, Drew, so you were a Jewish athlete in college. Like,
I mean, I should have a trophy just for being Jewish, Division 1. There should be a league.
Yeah.
No, so I, have you ever seen the Family Guy
episode?
You
probably don't want to be throwing numbers on a Jew anymore, though.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, they're like, it's a 10. It's a 10. We get it.
Yeah.
We're sorry for what we did.
Yeah.
So what? So we were talking. Oh, so he was at the diving banquet and there was like a banquet. It was conference and we won. And my dad's like, I gotta go. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, all these parents are staying like for 2 more days. Cause like, it's in Indiana. It's like this big conference we have at like Indiana University, Purdue, whatever, IUPUI.
Yeah.
Right? So it's this huge thing we have, and a lot of the people are going to Olympic trials, and like he leaves before like the senior speeches, and they're really like powerful, just to show like how, I don't know, just how determined these people are for what they love, kind of thing. And he was like, I gotta go, I have a long drive home, like in his Porsche. And I was like, okay, like you have a long drive home, but like there's a woman here who flew out for her son because he was swimming, and they're from New Zealand. So like, I'm sorry, the drive from Indiana to Chicago is like a couple miles.
Yeah, but like, yeah, that's nothing. That's like a day shit we do
out here. Yeah, and it's like, I just was like, he has no like, what's it called? Like, it's not that he has no self-awareness of like what's going on. It's like he doesn't. I feel like he doesn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Like to like he's like, I don't care enough to like sacrifice because it's not worth like my time.
Right. It's but have like, you considered winning a gold medal before he shows up? I don't think that's too much to ask, Drew. Come on.
I'll make sure next time. Maybe he'll stay for the first speech.
I mean, just please accomplish every feat known to man before your dad has to get off the couch. I mean, I don't think that's too much.
It's just like, it's interesting, right? Because it's like, because I think, and I don't know if you've seen this on the podcast, I can just ask you guys a general question. Like, I feel like it's harder for my dad to have a relationship with me because like he sees so much of my mom in me because I look like her and I'm
that's probably
very similar
true.
To her.
That's probably
and he
true.
He helps her kids who are like, they're great kids, but like they definitely like struggle in a lot of other ways that I don't. And he helps them and like doesn't like, I feel like give me or give me like the credit that I deserve kind of thing. And so like, it's interesting to see that, but I think it's because it's like this new fun and exciting life. And
yeah. It's also like, this is on some level that's, somebody else's kids.
Hold on, sorry.
Some...
My dog's chewing something and he just had stomach surgery. So he's
being. Oh, that's okay. I can talk about, I mean, like, it's kind of like I always thought my dad, like, the way to, like, bond with my dad is to always be fucking on the ball and be like on top of shit. And even if you're not on top of shit, I was like, it's better to just fucking fake it. And then
absolutely.
And not be like, dad, I'm sucking at this, or just be like, ah, I don't care. And then, so he kind of just goes like, oh, I just, he's both lazy and, you know, just not paying attention. So he's like, I just thought you were good. And I was like, nah, I'm not fucking good. I'm fucking crazy. But,
you guys really got to try having an insane father. It's none of the pressure.
Yeah, I'd like to give that.
I wake up every day and I have a basic income and I know what reality is and I'm killing it. So it doesn't matter. I'm not like, oh, I need to fucking prove to my dad. I don't give a fuck. I worked as a Walgreens cashier. I kick my dad's ass every day.
Yeah. But you also can't talk to older men about anything. So there's
pros and cons, Nick. There's pros and cons. But yeah.
You know, Drew,
on the ball for my dad, it's like, dude, I stole a car. We're driving to fucking Venezuela. I got a meeting. Yeah. And then my dad's like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, if you tried to like impress your dad, you guys would be like on a like a homemade raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Like, I think I'm getting a signal. I think I'm getting a signal.
Impressing my dad, he's like, I got a bunker and a plot of land, and we're gonna start again. And he's like, absolutely.
That's my boy, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, I just took a hammer, smashed in all the walls of my apartment, looking for bugs. He's like, that's the type of dedication I am talking about, son.
Oh Lord, it's very more intense, but like, okay, so yeah, and I think with my dad it's more about like priorities, right? So he'll like choose
right. Same with my dad,
more like the offensive thing, yeah, where it was like, well, I mean, yeah, he prioritizes the signals for
you gotta prioritize. What are you not gonna prioritize the CIA agents kicking down the door? Come on. That's not priority number one.
Yeah.
Feeding your kids or dealing with these fucking microphones in the goddamn wall. I mean, let's get things in order.
So my dad is like, would choose like her family over, as much as he doesn't want to believe, you know, he does, like it would be a situation like, so my stepbrother had a graduation and they invited me like a year earlier, right? And so I was like excited to go. And then like 2 weeks before, he's like, oh, we can't have you. And I was like, okay, like, why? Like, I was like, okay, why? Because we were supposed to go to New York. And so he was like, you know, it has to do with so-and-so, like something that was like completely irrelevant. Like, he was like, it has to do with their sobriety.
He literally said, like, he's like, I'd have to see you. And it just seems like. It just,
he's like,
it
I already wrote your
like
name on the
honestly,
ticket for the airline, and it was too much work. I just typed Drew, and I was like, ugh.
I have to ask you how you're doing. You're going to bring up your mother. I'm already sick. Honestly, can I hang up the phone? Can we hang up? Let's start again.
If you're not jumping out of a tall platform into water, I'm not going to be there. All right? I don't want to see you. I don't want to see if you're not in a bathing suit jumping off something tall.
That's the criteria. Pretty much.
Come to think of it, that's kind of a very weird thing for a dad to only show up at. Yeah. Just to be like, oh, well, I don't like my daughter. Wait, she's in a bathing suit. I'm showing up. I suddenly found the strength.
Oh, my God. To get out of the chair. Yeah. So he was like, you're not coming to graduation. It has to do with so-and-so sobriety. And I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? And then he was like, you know what? It's actually just like, it seemed like he was making up excuses like on the spot, and he was like,
"He's like, it's really my sobriety. I feel like I have to get drunk.
If I see you,
yeah,
I'm trying to slow my drinking down. I can't see my daughter right now.
Yeah.
So, is this therapy for me or you? I'm just wondering.
Who knows, dude? Let's just let her rock.
So basically, okay. So he was like, you can't come, blah blah blah, and he was like, actually, it's too expensive. Okay, he said it's too expensive. Right. 10 minutes later, he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I just bought a Porsche for my wife and it's downstairs. I have to go take care of it with the guy who brought it here.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that happened within like the same.
It's like, too expensive. I just brought a Porsche for my pilled out
like,
wife.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, like. You could
it's like a scene in a movie, truly, where he's like, it's just going to be too expensive. Can you guys park the Porsche around back? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. $299, are you out of your mind? Yeah.
It's going to be way too expensive to pay the servant to buy the airplane tickets.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's
I fucking slurred my way through that.
Yeah, no, that was funny.
It would have been okay if I didn't slur my way through it.
No, so it's
what
just,
dad, it's what Drew's dad said. Like, I'm just accusing your dad of being a drunk. I don't know what you meant.
It's funny because he's not. He actually just started to smoke weed because he was like, I need fucking weed, which I don't blame him, honestly. But I also think
is your dad hitting weed? He's like, whoa, dude, I'm a horrible father.
How does a guy like that smoke weed?
Yeah. He's like, dude, I brought a Porsche and then told my daughter that I couldn't buy a Delta airline ticket. I am fucking insane, dude.
Well, thank you for so much for being on. I had like a blast recording this. This was like,
same, Drew. Thanks for coming
on.
I really liked how you talked about, you like cut the fat. You went straight for it and it made for such a good episode. So thank you again
for
coming on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me.
Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.